It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me today for It's a Good Life. And you know it is a good life, knowing the Lord Jesus as our Savior and serving Him today. And if you don't know Him, you need to get to know Him by asking Him to save you today, to come into your heart. Well, we're continuing our study today about God's local church, God's church. And as we look at this, we need to be reminded that there are some today who call themselves churches who are not really God's church. They're not representing my Savior when they do the things that they do. They're not representing God. You say, that's being judgmental. Well, the Bible tells me that according to the Word of God is the judge. The Word of God is what we measure things by. It's not by what I think, but it's by what God says in His Word. And we're studying through the local church here about the local church, and we're seeing some things that are wrong that's prevalent in some local churches today. Well, I'm not saying that all local churches are bad. What I'm saying is this, that there are some who are not doing God's work. They're not in God's will. And we found in our last study that biblical doctrine has become irrelevant in some of these churches. In other words, it's not important. There are shorter messages to become more relative. In other words, things change with circumstances. There are no absolutes. And they say, we've got to be up with the times. And this is done to draw bigger crowds. Well, also people become comfortable. They become comfortable in the local church, and God says that we're to be stirred up. We're to be happy. We're to be joyful when we come into the house, into His house. And we're to go out charged up, ready to serve God, not to serve this world. We don't come there to be entertained, as some people believe. Well, the Bible tells me that I'm to be interested not in the entertainment or what goes on there other than the Word of God and the fellowship that comes by being with other Christians. Psalm 122 and verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We need to be glad. We don't need something to get us excited except we need Jesus as Savior. We need to follow His teachings in His Word. Well, last time I mentioned that the modern church has grabbed the worldly philosophy of pragmatism. In other words, concerned with results rather than principles. A big crowd does not mean success. Success in the local church is doing God's will, going there to serve Him, and then going forth and bearing precious seed, going and sowing that seed of the Word, telling people how that they can be saved. Not going out and saying, oh, we have such a good time at our church. We have songs and we sing, we have a band, we have this and we have dancing, we have whatever you want in this world. We've got it, and you need to come to our church. Well, folks, might I say that that is the wrong thing to do. We need to go out with Jesus and present Jesus Christ as Savior. And tell them that only Jesus Christ can save. We don't need to go out and tell them that they're going to have a good time when they come to our church. We need to go out and say, you're going to have a good time in the Lord because you trust Him as your Savior, and that places joy in your heart. Well, pragmatism sucks the truth out of biblical teaching more than any other scheme Satan has devised to date. And we also see that pragmatism, evolution, and secular humanism, along with relativism, have been very effective in crippling the church today and down through the years. Relativism says that there is no right or wrong, no absolutes, no truth or error. It all depends on the circumstances of the time. Relativism says this. It says it doesn't make any difference how you get them to church. We live in a new age. It doesn't make any difference if you let non-saved people take part in the worship service, the music, advice to the congregation and so forth. Well, that doesn't make any difference. They're human beings. They have a right to do that. That's what relativism says. Well, the Bible says that we are not to allow people who are unsaved to do anything in the local church. Now, that may shock you, but God's house is His house. And I realize some of you are going to say, well, we're the temple of God. This body is the temple of God. Well, that's true. So why don't you act like it? Why don't you treat your body as the temple of God and quit going about serving this world and doing the things of the world? When we go into the house of the Lord, to the place that He's called us to join our hearts and our minds and our souls together to hear the Word of God, we need to go there to worship God and Him only. Relativism says that when you call sin, sin in somebody's life, you're being mean-spirited, judgmental. And what you see as wrong, according to the Bible, may not seem wrong to someone else. Well, don't tell me someone to open their eyes to the unsound doctrine or heresy being taught in their local church. Don't tell me not to tell them to open their eyes. Don't tell someone that unless they receive Jesus Christ as Savior, they're going to hell. That's being judgmental, these people say. That's being mean. But one person has observed this. In the world, it is called tolerance. But in hell, it is called despair. The soul that believes in nothing, cares for nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, enjoys nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, and remains alive because there is nothing for which it will die. Relativism also says this. You shouldn't call attention to something that you see as wrong in a person's life. When, even if what you see is wrong based on what the Bible says, after all, it's only your opinion as to what you think the Bible says. Well, might I say that it's not up to me of what the Bible says. It's up to God and what He says. He says. And what He says is truth. And nothing will change that. As long as we stand upon His word, we're not going to go wrong. Relativism says this as well. It goes on to say there are no absolutes in the Bible. When you see something in the Bible called sin or wrong, it is simply your preference or conviction concerning what the Bible says, some will say, according to relativism. After all, there are no absolutes found in the Bible. Well, that's what relativism says, and relativism is wrong. And that's where a lot of local churches have gone wrong. They've been listening too much to the things of the world. They've been listening to the things that the devil has placed in front of them to keep them entertained. Let me remind you that that's pragmatism. Going to church to be entertained, that's pragmatism. What's happened to the local church? Satan's goal has always been to tempt men to trust their own feelings and methods over the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceiving. Your heart, what you feel, will fail you. We shouldn't go by what we feel. We need to go by what God says. Christ was even tempted by Satan to do the things that when we think of this, he was tempted not to do those things that were not right, according to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." See, with each temptation to give in to human feelings, Christ said this, "It is written." Well, where is it written? We ask, where was it written, Jesus? It was written in the Word of God. Jesus quoted the Old Testament scriptures. When a man is tempted to build a church on man's methods instead of following God's will, the right answer to the temptation is what Christ said, "Get thee hence, Satan," Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Temptation is not the sin. Giving in to the temptation is sin. I would say to you today, the liberal church is discarding and downplaying preaching in favor of newer means such as drama, dance, humor, comedy, variety, sideshows, histrionics. And by the way, histrionics is overdone emotion. That's what that word means. It's done for the show. In other words, the tears will flow as long as the crowd is approving of it. As long as they can get the emotion worked up, that's histrionics. We also see the pop psychology involved today. Dr. Phil, you have seen him with the pop psychology. You have all these television preachers who are using pop psychology, and I don't have to name the names, but you know who they are. Modern methods are being used to become more entertaining and to be more relatable. People relate, they think, to what's going on. And that is, the safe person wants to relate to that unsafe person. Well, you're different. The Bible says, come out from among them. You're different. Let them see something different in your life. Let them know that Jesus saves and that He can lead them into life everlasting by receiving Him as their Lord and Savior. That's what the local church is about. That's what you are about as a saved person. Well, the truth is this. The Bible is not at all relativistic. It is absolute truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." In biblical separation, truth is not determined by testing what works and what doesn't work. John 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Acts chapter 5, verse 29, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." Something else. Spiritual and biblical truth is tested for one criterion and one criterion only. Does it match with what the Bible says or not? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, if we trust worldly methods and ways, we automatically relinquish the power of the Holy Spirit to build the church. John chapter 16, verse 13 says this, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." What is the reason for local churches not doing as the early church did in the church at Jerusalem in the way that God wanted to go? What is the reason today? They're not listening to God. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." If we use man-made methods of relying on gratuitous humor and entertainment and storytelling to soften the message to appeal to the people at the expense of straightforward biblical preaching, we are telling God we want to do it our way and not His. Proverbs 16, 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Get saved today. Know Jesus as your Savior. If you are saved, walk in His Spirit. Walk in His might. Let Him guide you into all truth. Serve Him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.